The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Craig Bogart, creator of The Ineffables, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 190. Today I'm going to be talking about space. No, not galaxies and universes and that. Nope, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, as it's happening this weekend right here in Columbus. And actually, it's the 20th anniversary of this event, so I assembled a round table to talk all about space, give its history, talk about what it means to the independent creators that are going to be there and that have been there in the past. And I've assembled quite a crew to talk about space. Of course, the man behind space, Bob Corby, is going to be here, as well as Brian Canini, Dara Naragi, Ken Epstein, Tom Williams, Gabby Metzler. We all sat down and we talked about space, and I'm really hoping that you enjoy this episode. But I would be not a very good host if I didn't let you know all about space happening this weekend. April 27th and 28th, it's happening here in Columbus, Ohio, at the Northland Performing Arts Center. It's located at 4411 Tamarack Boulevard in Columbus, Ohio. That's the northern edge of the city. The event hours are Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5, and admission is free. So if you need any more motivation to come on out to space, besides the fact that you're going to see really cool comics that you have never seen anywhere else on the planet, hanging out and talking with some of the independent creators that are going to be there, there's the final motivation. It's free. So wherever you're at, make it a nice car trip, if you will, a nice road trip, excuse me, is what I meant to say. Come on down to Columbus, check out space. You know, and I'm going to be honest, you know, about 6 years ago, I started going to space as a fan, and I really enjoyed the experience. I had a blast. And then you fast forward to, as many of the avid listeners of this podcast know, the last couple years where I got to be part of the show, so to speak, as I teamed up with Brian Lau to share the table and have some fun at space. And still, the experience was fantastic. So if you got nothing going on this weekend, come on down, check out space. If you need any details, backporchcomics.com is where you're going to go to get all of the details. Again, it's free, folks, so you got nothing to worry about. So come on down and enjoy some great comics at the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, aka Space. I'd like to also thank real quickly some of the folks that gave me a little bit of support. They said, John, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. Be chill, man. It'll all work itself out. And what the heck am I talking about? I'm talking about last weekend when PVDcast.com was not working correctly. I don't know what the problem was. I just couldn't upload new episodes to the website. But Bluehost, the people that host the PVDcast, they fixed it, man. And so I got to say, I'm going to give a quick plug. If you're somebody thinking about making a website, you need to see Bluehost, because those people are top-notch. Bluehost.com to get all the info you need if you're thinking about starting a website for whatever reason. Anyways, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm back with Bob, Brian, Dara, Ken, Tom, and Gabby talking about the 20th anniversary of space. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here for the Space 20th anniversary. I'm going to call it a roundtable. Bob Corby joining us here. How are you, Bob?
Pretty good. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. You want to give a little introduction to who you are?
Some of these guys should know what space is. I've talked to you a few times.
Oh, yeah.
But space is the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. We are about to have our 20th annual show The same location as last year, the Northland Performing Arts Center. This weekend, April 27th and 28th, we have about 150 exhibitors coming and many, many more comics. The last count on original comics that will be there was somewhere over 500. And I still haven't caught up with all the emails I have yet, so there may be some more. So there's going to be something different that nobody's ever seen or may never see again if you don't support this show.
So. There you go. All right, let's go around the table. Tom Williams, welcome to the PBD cast. Tom, tell the folks at home a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. I mostly am known for doing the posters for space and a lot of the graphics for the show, but I also do comics, bit of design work, this and that.
All right. Ken Epstein returning yet again. You were just on last fall, I believe, when we met at the student union.
I'm glad you haven't kicked me out yet.
I don't kick any guests out. I'm just FYI. But go ahead and tell some of the new listeners who you are.
Sure. I'm Ken Epstein, and I publish Nix Comics here in Columbus.
There you go. All right. Ryan Canini, you've also been on PVD Cast before.
Yes.
But again, let's tell those listeners at home just who you are, what you're all about.
Ryan Canini. I'm a cartoonist, and I make the webcomic Drunken Cat Comics and a slew of other comics. I don't stop working.
You're a scribbler, too. Plug that scribbler.
Oh, yeah. Columbus Scribbler. I'm part of the free comics newspaper here in Columbus, the Columbus Scribbler.
Just skip over page 2 on the latest one.
Page 2 is great. Bob tells us all his secrets.
It's all got the dark goodies are there.
It has a life-size head of me on it.
Oh, man.
We got copies from Laughing Ogre or the Billy Ireland or other random places in Columbus.
Just keep your eyes out for it. Yeah. There you go. Gabby Metzler, welcome to the PVD cast as well. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. I'm Gabby Metzler. Mostly I do the Fat Girl Love Club because I am the girl here, and
I gave them more names. I don't know.
You're the only one who would show up.
No, that's a cheap joke.
They saw who else was coming. So,
all right, Dara Naragi. It's been a long time since you've been on this podcast,
man.
Yeah, a couple years. But go ahead, let everybody know your story.
Yeah, so Dara Naragi. I'm a writer. I used to self-publish an anthology with a bunch of other writers and artists here in Columbus called Panel. We did like 20 issues of that. And I think we were just talking about this. My first space, I think, was 2003. I'm relying on Bob's memory.
That's questionable.
When the horses got in the way.
Yeah. Yep. So question, Dara, you haven't been to space in a couple of years because you don't have a project that you're working on, as right. you've admitted to. Wow, when I said that, it sounded like you're on your oath. Yeah, that's it, didn't
it? Is it true?
Is it true? I want the truth. But, Dara, anyway, do you miss being in space?
I do. I loved being behind the table, and then I love walking around and seeing all the other comics. And honestly, I think my last year, I didn't have something new either, but I still wanted to be there. But I kind of feel like a fraud, like getting a table and showing up when I haven't produced anything new, so... that's the main reason why I've been away.
You know what? It's always new to somebody.
That's true.
Very good.
So maybe what I'll do is I'll wait a couple more years and then bring out like all of the panel books, and it'll be like a whole new audience.
Will any of your stuff be at space? Like I could buy it?
Yeah, because Brent Bowman, who's an artist that I've worked with, we did a couple graphic novels together. He's going to be there, so I'm sure he'll have stuff for sale.
I have some panels left from the archive. Or whatever.
From the vault.
There you go.
The vault.
Speaking of which, real quick, if you need additional copies from the vault, you let me know.
I can't sell the architecture.
Are you saying that you may have overprinted a few
dollars? I'm saying I may or may not have additional copies.
No, that doesn't happen.
That never happens.
I think his basement must look like mine. I have 27 issues of an anthology book in my basement.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit, Bob, about the history of space. In 1988, you had your own self-published book, O Comics, that you had come out with.
Right.
And you had stated that you was at a local Comic Con and you kind of noticed that there wasn't that many self-publishers there. Is that correct?
Actually, I was a small press guy that used to get a lot of the review zines.
Okay.
And then basically what we'd do is, you know, we'd all be doing mini comics and everybody would, you know, send their mini comic in, and then you'd get a big long list and reviews of different mini comics. And I noticed in some of those review zines, there was an awful lot of people in Ohio doing this, and actually people in town like Michael Nino. That's mm-hmm. the first time yeah. I met him through a review zine that came out of Las Vegas, of all places. And I said, hey, this guy's in Columbus. So that he was like the first contact I had. But anyway, got a bunch of those people together. We produced O Comics for the Mid-Ohio Con back in 1988, long lamented Mid-Ohio Con. And I set up a table to sell them, and we were selling them for the March of Dimes. And we had maybe 13, 15 people show up mm-hmm. that were all, you know, doing their own comics. So it was kind of fun to meet these guys in person. You know, you only knew them through the mail previously. This is
pre-internet,
pre-internet. Yeah. So, sure. So these review zines in the mail were our you know our path to get to each other.
So then, why did you decide to do space? Like, what was the next step? What was the next logical step?
The next step. Well, we did the you know the Mid-Ohio Con for
yeah,
a
sure.
number of years, and just met more and more people, and my list of artists and writers for O Comics kept growing, and then I continued on with the small press, and then in 1995, Dave Sims started his Spirits of Independence shows all across the country, and I think the second one was here in Columbus with Jeff Smith being mm-hmm. the anchor artist.
Paul Pope.
And Paul Pope, yeah, that's right. And so that went pretty well. That went really well. There was like 30 of us, I think, set up, and quite a few people were running through. I mean, we were competing with the live Power Rangers show, I think, for garage space.
I've heard so many stories about horses, about
oh, yeah.
juggalos, and now the Power Rangers.
There's always
wow.
The universe is against us. But anyway, yeah, there was a live Power. This was down at the convention center.
Okay.
So anyway, that went pretty well, and then it was absorbed somehow with the Mid-Ohio Con. And then just kind of lost its own identity after a few years.
You mean the Spirits of Independence?
Spirits of Independence, kind of the following okay. year, was just part of Mid-Ohio Con.
Okay.
And it kind of just became, you know, the artist room and disappeared at mm-hmm. some point. Nobody mentioned it as that anymore. Then that continued on for a few years, and it just seemed like that worked so well that why don't we do it again? And, you know, I decided I was going to do it in that was about 1999, and then I was looking around for a place, and we found the fairgrounds over there, the Road Center, which was just you know big enough for what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
We did it, and the first show had about 36 exhibitors, and about 36 people came through the door, and that was pretty terrible.
I was going to mention you've had some ups and downs. Obviously,
right.
you've been
right.
doing it for 20 years,
right.
and it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, anybody that puts on any type of venture, you're going to have the highs and mm-hmm. you're going to have the lows. Would you like to talk about some of those? I mean, besides that first year, you said it wasn't very
well,
productive.
Yeah,
what were some of the highs though?
What I did that day was just walk around and talk to all the mm-hmm. exhibitors and see if they wanted to try it again. The following year, Dave Sim decided to come, and he started the Day Prize, the Gene Day Prize in honor of his mentor, Gene Day, who did a lot of work for Marvel and was very active in the small press comics back in the day. So he came, and our attendance jumped considerably the following year, and then those guys just kept coming. We'll skip over that.
We'll open up to some of our other guests. Like, what were some of the many of you have been there for many many years. What's some of the highs and lows that maybe you've noticed or that you've experienced?
I'd say, and this is like a testimony to the resilience, the year the Ramada closed down 2 months before the show was scheduled and Bob had to scramble to take the show.
Never use the word cancel. That was the
well,
key.
Well, and you didn't.
I did
you
not. It moved.
You postponed it.
I didn't even use postponed. I said it moved.
And you ended up in a much better space. So that was kind of a combination high end.
Well, we were already working towards that space for the following year. So I did have some, you know.
Yeah,
the way space functions is I always find a very economical location. Knowing that, it's always good to have a backup plan.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Because most of the venues we've had now are other things or abandoned. The fairgrounds are still kicking.
Yeah. There's a really scary video of the Ramada location. How it is now.
Well, now it's probably better than that because it's now a storage facility for U-Haul. One of the other venues was a water park for a while, and now that's closed and sitting there empty.
Yeah.
That's the Bryson.
We shut things
70.
Down.
That should be your tagline. Space, we shut things down.
Shut things down.
Shut it down.
The Aladdin Shrine Temple is... It's gone. So
that's a good location.
When we're through with the venue, they're done. They're gone.
Look at it this way: nothing else can fill the shoes of space. They just close it down.
Right.
They're just moving on, man. Moving on. Can I ask, Bob? Is it also true to say that another reason why you were motivated to start space was a lack of maybe quote true end quote comic book conventions?
Yeah, we were doing Mid-Ohio Con for years, mm-hmm. and I could see that becoming more of what everybody calls a pop culture con now, mm-hmm. and less emphasis on the comics and on the comic creators. So I thought that was, you know, time to move, mm-hmm. to get that going. I was doing both for a few years, as long as, you know, before Wizard World took over and doubled mm-hmm. all the prices. But it was kind of the last straw for me because I was, you know, mostly that was towards the end of that run, that was the best place for me to advertise for space, mm-hmm. and we'd buy an ad. Mm-hmm. I think the year Wizard took over, I contacted them about putting an ad in their program book because that was always something I did, and I don't think they ever got back to me before. You know, it was too late.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
So that was mm-hmm. kind of the end of that.
Well, can we talk a little bit, Bob, about the Space Award?
Okay.
Because the Day Award, the Gene Day Award, kind of transformed, I guess, would be the best adjective there, or best verb, I should say.
Dave did that for 8 years. He gave away the Gene Day Prize. And then in 2008, we collect that. The way that used to work is I'd collect the books at the show, and then I would ship them up to him at some point, usually mm-hmm. way later than I should have. But anyhow, I never got to read any of them, which would bug me. But anyhow, so in 2008, I collected the books. He contacted me a little while after that and said that was it. He was done. He was running out of money because he was doing most of this on his own dime, which was great. I appreciate him doing that. So at that point, I contacted everybody and I said that he wasn't doing the Space Prize anymore. Actually, it became part of the Schuster Awards up in Canada.
Okay.
Which was great, you know, mm-hmm. because now there's still a Gene Day Prize.
Right. Sure.
Because he definitely needed to be memorialized. But, you know, we took over and called it the Space Prize. And we had, up before that, actually awarded a few Lifetime Achievement Space Awards. You know, there wasn't a yearly thing, but just a few individuals that we thought went over and above, the small press stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Dave Sim, Matt Fizell, Tim Corrigan, and Larry Blake. I think those are the four so far that have done that. I keep forgetting to do one. Or I was going to do Carol Tyler, and she told me no way in hell She says, I'm not done yet. I said, okay.
Oh, okay.
She did not want a lifetime achievement
award. That could be a retirement prize for yourself, but on your way out, give yourself a lifetime award.
I keep meaning to make one for myself just so I have one, because I don't have one.
So,
just because I love me.
Who has won a space award this year? You have, I know, Darrell.
In the past.
In the past. Yeah, yeah, yes. In the past. You've won one, right? Tom?
I won one.
Tom. Gabby?
I got second.
Second place.
Yeah, okay. Well, Tom won.
It was a day prize.
You won a day prize. Okay.
What? I mean, how? He needs to do more comics.
Yeah, yeah. So, what does it mean to you to win that award?
Oh, it was special. It was around the time I think things were coming together for me. Like soon after that, I got my first graphic novel gig with Oni Press, and started to do like stuff for like IDW, Image, and then Dark Horse.
So it was kind of a nice, was it the kickoff?
Yeah.
You looked at it that way, like it was kicking off some bigger projects? Or
I think things were starting to distill for me and come together after I graduated from CCAD.
Okay. Gotcha. Dara, what were your feelings about winning a space award?
I mean, obviously it was pretty cool, but it's kind of funny because in a way it's sort of the opposite of Tom's experience, because by the time I got the award, it was sort of like when I was starting to trail off in terms of writing, because just real life got in the way. So it's kind of a nice way to sort of cap it off. But it felt good just because, you know, I'd been at space for so long and I'd seen all the other comics, and so many people just knew me from, you know, the panel group or just being there. And, you know, the fact that the folks that go to space get to vote on it, you know, obviously meant a lot. So that was pretty cool.
And let's describe, that's basically how does the process work now for space? It's collection?
It's very convoluted. basically, the way it works, I collect all the books, I read all the books, and I'll narrow them down to some finalists.
Okay.
And then there are two judges in each category. We have three categories: graphic novels, mini comics, and then the general category, which is like your regular. Mm-hmm. It's hard to define. That we have some definitions that are a little bit of plastic because they're hard.
They're flexible.
There you go.
Flexible.
Because you never know where something will fit in. And then so the two judges in each category read all the books and vote for their top three, 1, 2, 3, and I assign numbers to those. You know, I'm an old track guy, so first place is 5 points, second place is 3 points, third place is 1 point. So then also the exhibitors at large vote collectively, you know, whatever, you know, they all vote on their favorites, and then I add those up and they become a judge. So then I add up the three judges' numbers, and whoever has the most now, Terry Eisel and Brent with Fartoon this year had a perfect 15 score,
which I don't think has ever happened before. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Everybody was right on it.
And then they're awarded the prize the following year, correct?
Right, because it takes us that long to get to, because we actually read the books.
Most of them.
Is that a little cheat sheet over there? A little bit of the future?
These are the ones that won this year, so everybody knows this already.
I didn't know.
But I just
this guy thought she was getting this is more. Scoop. Ooh, was my name on there?
This is more historic.
Hell yeah!
Well, let's talk a little bit.
Brian's there
with the creators. Brian, what does space mean to you? I mean, you've been there for several years. What's the
space? Was my first comic book convention in 2001. I was 18 and in high school, and I saw a flyer in the Laughing Ogre. So space means a whole lot to me.
Okay.
It was the moment that I became a comic book maker. I Xeroxed up copies, like, I think the night before the first space that I went to.
That sounds about right, by the way. The night before.
Yep, the night before. Folded and stapled, and the highlight for space for me was the first year, because Jeff Smith actually wandered around, bought a book.
Oh, that's awesome.
Were you at the Kinko's on Kenny? Wasn't that the place?
Yeah. Actually, Derek Baxter and I actually commandeered his mom's work copier. So we got the copies for free.
I thought that was the true way to do it, to steal the copies.
Yep. Yeah,
I stole the copy.
Well done, sir. Tip of the hat.
I have no hat.
But that's okay. That's all right.
Tom and one of the other panel members, Steve Black, or no? not Steve. We also worked at Kingston. Steve, somebody else.
Steve worked at Stinko's for a while.
Right. I thought you worked there for a while.
I did. I worked there too long.
That was like the night before you'd go in there to get some. I remember going in because they blew my exhibitor list, and I had to print out a whole bunch more. And there's everybody I know.
The whole reason I got into printing was because I had Kinko's screw up my comics for too long. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go get a job there and do it the right way. And now I've been doing printing pre-press for like 20 years now.
So your bright idea backfired. Is that what you're saying?
In a way, but it's also a stabilizing day job.
Now you get it from the other side.
Well, yeah.
And now Kinko's is too expensive to make comics with.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
It has.
Yeah, I imagine with technology, you know, that the printing costs have maybe gone down.
The shops are closed.
Kinko's is competing with a lot of on demand places, as well as a lot of other mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm.
I own my own printer.
Well, the thing is, they're not competing because there are so many, you know, offices who just go to Kinko's for their annual report or whatever, and that's enough for them to make their money on their little print shop.
Yeah. Sure.
So they don't have any motivation to compete with print on demand, even a real print shop.
All my black and white comics are printed in my house now, so I don't even need to involve a printer.
Moving on up. Look at that.
Yeah. And it's not that, you know, if you look at how what Kinko's would have cost you over, you know, a run of comics, I'll be better off.
Gotcha. Gabby, let's talk to you about what's your feelings. What does space mean to you?
Well, space is the reason I put out a new comic every year, because I remember to. I'm just like,
oh shit, I gotta put one out. Oh.
You know, that's my whole goal in life, is to give people a deadline. I did that with the Art Explorer post for 12 years. You know, the high school kids and Ron Tardino, we were talking about, was a wonderful guy. Never got people to finish things. He was always great at teaching, and kids would learn a lot, but they could never finish anything. So my thing there was, okay, we're going to space, we're going to have a comic. I need to have things done on this date. So this was, you know, this is the reason that I was the guy that taught that. So,
okay, gotcha.
So I'm still continuing to do that.
Issue 4 is going to be there on Saturday, and it's going to be baller. But for real, though, when you're talking about space, when you got your award, things were going up in your career. When you were growing up, you were kind of leaving. Things were going very badly. I had been secretly writing Fat Girl Love Club for like 3 years, and then I tried to like come out at CCAD, like, I also do comics, and it was pure rejection. It was quite a lot. I was phased. But there were all these little like things with the community. Like, I would go to space, I would meet people who were really encouraging, and then that led to other things. And so it was a, you don't need just one venue to, or one community to live in.
Ken, what does space mean to you?
Oh, I mean, a lot. It's a list. That's a laundry list. But I think what I like about it most is the range of what you'll see there. Because what you'll have is you'll have the people like Tom and Dara who have very polished products, and you know they're ready for a publisher or have been to a publisher. But you'll also have somebody like Brian, who the night before was at Kinko's making his very first comic. And there's something magical about like seeing that full spectrum of the final, finished, polished, wonderful idea, and then also the baby, rough-edged, barely formed idea, and the entire spectrum in between. So it's, you know, you talk about there being something for everybody at a show like this, and that's like the old law, you know, the old saw. But not only is there something for everybody, there's all manners of that something for everybody.
Gotcha.
And that's what I like. Oh, and it was my first behind the table comic show. I remember being there my first year. I mean, I haven't been.
I put him in the smelly corner.
Yeah, I was in the ass end of the L. The Ramada used to have an L, and I was in the ass end. And there I was with my one comic that I have all stacked up, and everybody else has piles of everything they've been working on. But But that was good. It was a good experience, too. So it was kind of, I mean, that was me. That was my rough idea, my baby idea. Mm-hmm. And the first time anybody got to see that, like, in the comics community here.
Brian, you don't constantly now just go the night before, right?
No.
For the listeners at home, you stepped up the game, right?
Although he only gave me his two premier comics, like, the other day.
That's
so.
Because I didn't get it to Brian Dalton until the beginning of the month.
Well, Brian's not. Is he bringing it?
He's bringing it Saturday. To space.
Yeah. I'm right. Going to email you when I get
home. He's going to be there when I open the door to start setting up. So I asked him what kind of coffee he wants. So.
That's another Kinko's connection, right? Didn't he work at a Kinko's for years and then decide he wanted to just do?
You know what? I need to get a sponsorship from Kinko's for this episode. Shit, I mean, I'm missing the boat on this. I mean,
I don't know if they're going to sponsor we kind of hate Kinko's. We used to steal from Kinko's.
Do you want a $5 candy bar?
Right. We know a great guy who quit Kinko's.
There used to be a group here called the Invisible Artists, and our membership card was a Kinko's card.
Oh, nice. Well, Bob, let me pose the question to you. Besides the fact, you know, that you've created it and, you know, that you have a lot of work that you put into space, what do you enjoy most about it?
I think just seeing all the different work, just like Ken was saying, that,
and seeing that
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going to be there. And then I see people just whizzing right by me. You know, I see a kid come in, and, you know, we got a number of kids that probably take them a few years to get there. A lot of CCAD grads come through there, and it, just amazing work. So yeah, I mean, it was originally set up to sell my stuff, but there's just so much talent there that it's amazing. I just have fun doing my stuff, so I'm not worried about it anymore. But
and you mentioned how many exhibitors for this year?
Probably about 150. I haven't really sat down and count. We have 130 tables filled, and a lot of them are doubled up. So
that's cool. That's excellent. Excellent. And Northland Performing Arts Center, if I can spit it out, which is right there on the north end of town,
right off of Morse Road.
Morse Road. That's right. If I remember correctly, too, Saturday 10 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5.
Right.
And if you need more information, backporchcomics.com.
Right.
Anything else social media wise?
I mean, we're on Facebook. Okay. If you go to the website, there's all the buttons.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know why I asked you. I have that here. I'm sorry. Yeah. At Come on, Space John. Comics Expo.
we got
I'm influenced by sitting next to Brian.
We got to
blame me for this.
So, Ken and everyone else, if you want to talk about some of your new projects you have coming out, I know, Ken, you got Buck Slaughter's book of Rock and Roll Facts number 3 coming out soon, correct?
Out soon, not in time for space.
Right.
That'll probably happen in June. And that's the one that's, it's not autobiographical, but it is based on the dumb shit I used to say. So
tell the listeners a little bit about it for those who didn't listen to the previous episode.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's a comic. It's the one comic where I don't hire on an artist. I make the readers suffer through my own crude but effective scribbling. Yeah.
Magic marker time.
Permanent.
Well, that's not. Well, I do use Sharpies.
Permanent.
But,
I've latched onto the word primitive.
It's the ongoing story of a guy who owns a tiny little record store, and he has only 2 customers. So it's kind of, it's funny.
Gotcha.
It's crabby. Gotcha. It's old, but it's funny.
I also have here Nick's Comics Western just came out too in February, correct?
Yeah, so I guess that'll technically be new for space.
Okay.
But that's the fourth and probably the final one for a while.
Okay.
You know, not to take a political bent out of nowhere, but every time I sit down to write a Western, I feel like there's a gun-related tragedy in the news.
Okay.
And I can't keep writing stories about people shooting people.
With a clear conscience, huh?
I just can't do it.
Okay.
I guess you would call it a clear conscience, but I can't do it anymore. So, you know, I can write all the werewolf record store stories I want. Because there's not going to be a werewolf.
Well, yes, exactly.
If there is, I'll stop writing werewolf stories. But anyway, so yeah, the Western's out. And I also, at the same time Buck Slaughter comes out, I do a zine about record collecting, and I'll have a new issue of that out.
So, oh, that's cool.
New issue of Tales from the Crate.
Cool. Gabby, you mentioned it, the Fat Girl Love Club. is your book, your project. So tell the listeners at home a little bit about it, please.
Right now, it's a series of mini floppy comics. I'm hoping to get it to be a trade paperback, positive visualization. we're praying. And it's a very fun story about children doing drugs and losing God and also then losing their friends. What do you do? I don't know. And also, I've learned the big comics lesson that everybody learns, that writing your 200-page story as your first project is a poor use of time.
I think I warned you about that.
Unless you're Travis Horsman.
Early on.
It might work due to the praying. But so if there's any writers who'd like to not draw and write character-driven stuff, hit me up and we can submit to anthologies.
All right. Brian, you just wrapped up a Kickstarter for Drunken Cat Comics, the 2019 releases. I almost said 2099. That's a Marvel title. And that's awesome you're doing that. But anyways.
After my death.
So what's in store for those folks that want to pick up the releases for this year for Drunken Cat Comics?
Well, the releases won't be out until July.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait for CXE for that. But for space, I've got a new issue of my autobiographical comic, Glimpses of Life, which tells a story of, I don't know, my relationship with comics.
Okay.
And I've got a new satire called Applewood Canyon.
And what's that about, if I may ask? Because it is for mature audiences, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It is about America at the moment.
Oh. Okay. Enough said. Enough said.
Yeah.
Okay.
And fun for the whole family.
Except for the kids.
And what else? I'll have.
Can I just ask real quick? You are collecting all of Ruffians, which has been your one of your flagship titles. That's one of the projects for this year.
Yes, actually, that was my. Let's start with a graphic novel as the first big book, and that took 10 years later.
It teaches you everything you need. Right. You're like, wow, I'm ready.
How do you people like writing anything that long? I'm like, I like stories the same way I like my songs. If it's not over in 2 minutes, it's too long.
Towards the end, I did not like it. But I reached a point where I had to finish. Otherwise, it would have been a big waste of time. The Kickstarter was successful. We did Ruffians, which is a crime comic about a Blue Bear hitman seeking revenge for his friend's murder. And we got a collection of short funny strips and another journal comic book about the birth of my daughter and becoming a new parent and dealing with poopy diapers.
Oh, okay.
And also at Space, we'll have the second issue of The Scribbler, which I guess just about everyone except for Gara is this issue. Which is awesome. You should definitely check it out.
That's right.
A great article on Bob, a great cover by Tom.
Steve Steiner involved in that. Everybody? Yeah, okay. Big collaboration from some folks.
Huge two-page spread by Brent Bowman.
It's got a bunch of great comics from a bunch of great cartoonists here.
Yeah.
So, Tom, besides the Columbus Scribbler that we just talked about, what other projects do you
have? I also fell down the graphic novel rabbit hole. And I did the poster this year, but I kind of want to do comics, too. I'm scrambling and trying to get something together. I started doing, an anthology. I'm calling it Calame, where it's some stories that I'm not too embarrassed about that are in my hard drive and new stuff.
Okay. So what's your inspiration for when you sit down to do the posters for Space?
Have no idea.
I second that.
My input is that Cosmo needs to be in it somewhere.
Okay.
And that's as far as he lets me. And
that's yeah, Cosmo is in the mix. I think last year I had watched Stranger Things and then did the poster that apparently everybody like that one. I got a lot of good reaction from that. This year I was difficult for some reason.
What's different this year is it's actually silk screened. So yes. It's a little it's more,
yeah,
more.
It is scale. Huge. Upscale. It's 18x24, right. Two color,
and then done by Upright Press.
Yes,
just Henshaw.
Yep.
So we need to drop that.
Dude does there you great
go.
Work.
Go right ahead, plug it. Tom, can I ask one quick question? Because while I'm doing some research, and I know you mentioned, you know, you work with Oni Press and IDW and Dark Horse and that. You did a project, or you did something for Tori Amos?
Yes.
What was that?
Comic book tattoo.
Okay.
It came out a few years ago now. But yeah, Tori Amos was co-editing it with Rance. I can't pronounce his last name. Holstein. All right. Sorry, Rance, if you're listening. but Rance.
Rance, if you are, you can angry tweet me. Going like, what? This
Rance
crap?
Went on to edit for Heavy Metal Magazine for a while, and he worked with Nikki Six on a project from Motley Crue.
Did you have any interaction with Miss Amos? Or
I did not. Okay. I could not get the money together to go.
Okay.
But there was a launch with Tori. Tori was at San Diego.
Oh, okay.
With a lot of the creators. And it's a ridiculously heavy book. It's a ream of paper. Everybody's in it from 10 years ago. Ted McKeever's in it. David Mack. It's got a foreword by Neil Gaiman. It's a
beautiful book.
It's a beautiful book.
Okay.
And it's...
What's the name again? One more time.
Comic Book Tattoo.
There you go. So if you are listening and you're interested, go Google that and go pick up a copy.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Bob, do you have new projects come out?
A lot cheaper and lighter than Comic Book Tattoo. I have Old Comics. Old Comics 27, the Moon issue. And basically, we've got 20 stories related to the moon.
Okay.
The one I did is about me and my brother staying up. I'm this old. Watched the first lunar landing. So we stayed up all night to watch that. And that's kind of my little two-pager about that. But it's great. Everybody had, I thought, well, we're going to come up with duplicate kind of stories here. But everybody had their own little vision of it. It's amazing. So it's 108 pages. And we'll be selling it for $5. And then I have my old man book. The easily drawn character league versus stupidity. So I'm taking on some really stupid things with my little cast of characters. So.
A little mini comment on society,
which will be delivered at 6:30 on Saturday at Space. Brian's books.
Way to do it.
That's the way it's got to be done.
Space.
So, Darla, can we talk about some of your past projects? Because I know you don't have anything going on here. So tell the folks some of the past work you've done.
So my partner in crime on our creator-owned graphic novel series, Persia Blues, he's going to be there, Brent Bowman. So I'm sure he'll have both volumes 1 and 2. So you can always check that out. And then I'll just put in a plug for him and the First place graphic novel category, space prize winning, Fartoon. He did the artwork with that for Terry Eisel. So.
And they've also got the first installment of the next, it's called Fartoon 2. So I guess that's, they didn't call it, must be summer. I guess they're going by.
Yeah,
he didn't say that. So,
yes, I would say check out Brent Bowman. And then I don't know if you have any panel books.
There's some left. It's thinning out. I think I've got a lot of 20 still. The last issue of the panel.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. Wait a minute. Is panel 20 the XX one?
No.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
There was a follow-up.
That was our joke.
Okay.
We were going to do it. But
Oh, that was the joke. Okay.
Yeah,
right. It was going to be adult-oriented.
Panel X also started as a joke, and then we actually did it. And then,
oh, that's right. That there is an actual adults-only.
There's a semi-sequel with Craig Bogart's...
Dirty Cop.
Dirty Cop. It's an 80s send-up. If you like Dirty Harry.
Meets the Bad Lieutenant. That's
meets
what
the Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of nudity.
A lot of wrong
things
ideas.
Get weird.
So, yeah. So, Panel X, we said if we ever make it to issue 20, we'll do XX. But by then, it was kind of hard to get everybody corralled.
How many issues do you have?
20 issues.
That is so many.
It worked out well. Actually, something that you said made me think about it. You said that space was a good reminder for you that you need to get a comic out. Mm-hmm. So we totally use space and Mid-OhioCon as our deadline. So we do two issues a year. Mid-OhioCon was in the fall, and then space in the spring. So
I think you came within two issues of Kitchen O Comics. I'm up to 27 now. So.
you've got more stamina. We kind of petered out towards the end there. But, yeah. That's good.
All right, well, let's plug some social media where folks can follow you guys and whatnot. Ken, do you want to start off?
Sure. Everything is at Nix Comics, N-I-X Comics.
There you go. Brian?
DrunkenCatComics.com.
Gabby?
GabbyMetz.com and at GabbyMetz.
There you go. Dara?
I got nothing because my sites got hacked and my host wants way too much money to clean them, and I've been fighting with them back and forth, and at some point I just gave up. So
okay.
I'm on Facebook. People can find me, Dara Naragi, on Facebook.
All right. Enough said.
That's it.
There you go.
And you can find everything at backporchcomics.com, and I have all the buttons for all the social media. I got too much of that stuff to
start. Yeah, there you go. And just for folks that are listening, too, when you go to Back Porch Comics, there's kind of a – I guess two avenues. You have Back Porch Comics, which is
split personality.
Yeah, there you go.
Choose your own adventure.
There you go, Tom. That's better. And then the space part.
The blue star with Cosmo takes you over to the space side, and then there's the back porch where you can see the little house at the back porch, and that takes you over to my work.
There you go. Tom?
You can find me at drawrobotdesigns.com. My comic site needs an overhaul, but you can also find me on Instagram at my handle's drawrobot.
Well, if you get an opportunity, you're listening here and you're in the vicinity, all right, or even if you're not, make it a trip. Come on out this weekend, April 27th and 28th at the Northland Performing Arts Center, 4411 Tamarack Boulevard in Columbus, Ohio, 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. Space, it's the 20th anniversary. It's going to be a heck of a show. Bob, anything I forgot on that quick plug?
No. Well, we have a whole set slot of panels coming up, so there'll be a lot of things to do.
Oh, so there you go. You can do some shopping. You can sit in on a panel.
Two parties too. Friday night at the Laughing Ogre. You can meet a lot of the artists as they come to town.
Comics readings
and
on Saturday.
Saturday night at Cafe Kerouac, there'll be comics readings. Nate Powell's going to do one of the readings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
Damn.
Cool.
Yep.
There you go. Well. Gentlemen and lady, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it. And again, folks, go out and check out Space if you get the chance. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The roundtable talking about the 20th anniversary of Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. Let me fill you in just one more time that the event is happening April 27th and 28th at the Northland Performing Arts Center. That's located at 4411 Tamarack Boulevard in Columbus, Ohio. Saturday, 10 to 6. Sunday, 10 to 5. Admission is free. Go to backporchcomics.com if you need any information. And I hope to see you out there at Space, because I'm going to be there. You know it. I'm going to be there hanging out, perusing the great comics that are there. So say hello to myself or any of the folks, Bob, Brian, Dara, Ken, Tom, or Gabby, if you happen to stop by Space and see them. Say hello. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I think I need to pay some bills, so to speak. I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/pbdcast. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PBDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. They have tons of books dealing with comics. Trust me, check out their catalog. You won't be disappointed. And then download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Let me tell you where you can get in touch with me if you so choose to do so. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com.
Or you could even leave me a message at the Facebook page of this podcast, that being facebook.com/PVDcast. And you know what? This podcast is available a ton of different places, including PVDcast.com, now that it's working, but also through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Google Play, Pod Paradise, the Libsyn Podcast Player, SoundCloud, basically anywhere you get podcasts from. All you gotta do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to throw my name in there, PVDcast John Orlando, and whammo, it'll appear in your search, and then you can subscribe to it so you never miss a single episode. And don't forget to give me a great review if you get the chance, and don't forget to rate this podcast, and most importantly, tell folks about it. So, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.